just want to remind you that this year we're believing that it's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and fire. And I just want to read this prophetic word, which I think we have up there. 2018 is a year with the Holy Ghost and fire. The big 18 for 2018, that's 9 fruits of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit. That's not just coming, it's already here. But as his sons and daughters, we're going to have a spiritual explosion going on throughout 2018, particularly in the area of holiness and cleansing. So that's the particular area that God is doing, because the Holy Spirit will not come unless there's cleansing in the church. He doesn't come upon rubbish. He comes upon a vessel that's ready. And so I believe with my whole heart that there's holiness and there's cleansing coming. And you say, well, what are the 9 gifts of the Spirit? What's the 9 fruits of the Spirit? Well, to help you, I've got them up there. So we know that the 9 fruits of the Spirit, basically, you could all probably know these off by heart, but it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And in one part of this, they almost sound a little weak. These things sound a little weak, you know, gentleness, you know, self-control, goodness. But as you're going to discover, these are not weak. These are forces. So they're so strong. The forces that come out through these will change and will rock your situation, you rock your world. So these forces, and we're going to touch on love today, but the gifts of the Spirit, and we'll be touching on these as well, not today, but these are the gifts of the Spirit is wisdom. Now, wisdom is not what you think. Wisdom is not some old dude, you know, going through some things that he's learned over the years. Now, wisdom is a gift from God to foretell the future. So when the gift of wisdom comes, it is really about the future. So you'll discover that the Holy Spirit does this. He puts the gift of wisdom. And these are not one of the things that you can say, well, look, that's my gift. You know, all these, if you read what the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, it says, as the Spirit wills. This is as the Spirit wants. He may use you in that, but it's His gift. So then you have a gift of knowledge. And the knowledge is about the past. So when somebody gets up and is anointed with a gift of knowledge, they'll say, look, there's somebody here who's had this issue in their life and it's been doing that and it's this. And by the way, you've had this pain round about here. That's a word of knowledge. It's about the past. And so that's what the Holy Spirit, He does that to say, I'm interested in you and I want to touch you. I want to heal you. And that's what the word of the gift of knowledge is. And there's a gift of faith. Now, we've all been given the measure of faith, but the gift of faith is something different. So we can all operate in faith, but when the gift of faith comes on, it will come on for a purpose. And there'll be a time that you'll see me standing out in a gift of faith, and it may be for a building or for something like that, and in natural you'll think, has he lost it? You know, does he know how many people we got? That's what the gift of faith does. It comes and it goes out to a level that people can't understand. So get ready for that. And there's the gift of healing. Now, we can all operate in healing, but there's a gift of healing that comes upon for the special purpose. So we'll be looking at that. There'll be prophecy. Again, we're all called to prophesy. And we'll do a training session this year on the School of Prophets and teach you how to prophesy. But this gift is a prophetic gift that is just not a personal prophecy. It's a thing for the church, it's for the nation. It's very big. There's different kinds of tongues. So the Holy Spirit will come upon somebody and there'll be a manifest different types of tongues. It's not your personal prayer language. This is another gift we're talking about. And there's interpretation of tongues. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. So your tongues, your personal tongues are for edifying you. This gift is for the body of Christ. And there's discerning of spirits. And this is not where some weird little lady goes around, you know, saying, oh, there's a spirit of this on you. No, this is a gift of the Holy Spirit to discern what spirit is in a person, both good and bad. So discerning of spirit, what spirit is there? What's motivating this? So it comes as a discernment from the Holy Spirit. And then you have working of miracles. Again, another level. This is just not healing. This is a working of miracles that is really a sign and a wonder. So that's what we're entering into this year. Nine fruits and nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. So get ready. Get ready. But today, I want to talk about walking the love walk. And so I hope you're ready for this. I want to start with the letter that John wrote. And so we're going to talk about 1 John. And just as a background, you've got to realize that the Apostle John, he started his ministry really late in his life. So the Apostle John, from when Jesus was crucified, the first job he was given was to go and to look after his mother, Jesus' mother. He said, here's your mother. Mother, here's your son. So he had Mary living with him. And so you can imagine what Mary did for the next 20 years, telling him all about what Jesus did as a young man. So, but we pick it up here. So the Apostle John was really late into the ministry. When most of the apostles were killed, John comes on the scene. So he's the last one to write. So pick it up in 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, if you cleanse from all unrighteousness, what is left? Righteousness. So we've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. So the only thing must remain is righteousness. So when the Bible says you are the righteousness of Christ, that is true because you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. That you can go boldly and say, I'm the righteousness of Christ. The Word says it. If you're the righteousness of Christ, it's because what Jesus has done, you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. So there's no point you coming around saying, well, you know, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No. You are the righteousness of Christ, seated at heavenly places with him. So you've got to get rid of that old mindset that wants to pull you back and says, you're unrighteous. If you've asked for forgiveness, your sins have been cleansed. Been cleansed. Been wiped out. There's not a note held against you. There's nothing that the enemy can come against you because it's been blotted out. You are the righteousness of Christ. You know, you might say, well, I don't feel righteous. And that's what a lot of people say. I don't really feel righteous. You know, it doesn't matter what other people say, and it doesn't matter what you feel. Word, the God of Word is independent of what you feel. And every time you go back to your feelings, it's going to be a lie. Because we're all getting older. Every day we get older. So our body's going to tell us some things that does not line up with the Word of God. So you're either going to believe what your body says or believe what the Word says. So you're either believe you're sick or believe you're healed. You choose. I choose to say what the Word says. I'm healed. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Right? So we take the strength of Christ and we apply it to our life. And you have to say that I'm cleansed, I am the righteousness of God. So if you learn how to walk by faith, you will kill that feeling of unrighteousness. Because the enemy wants to make you unrighteous. He wants to load you down with so many issues that you feel so heavy and you can't walk through life, but you've got to walk by faith and not by sight. Very key. You might say, oh, Pastor Michael, if we adopt that attitude, the next thing that people, you know, will do, they'll be just sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing. And I say, well, that's a lot better than sinning and not confessing. Sinning and not confessing. I'd rather somebody sinning and confessing, because when you are made the righteousness of God, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and he helps us, and it won't be long before you say, Lord, I need help with this area of sin. I want to get rid of it. It's a thing in my life. And if you're confessing that, he will come along as a helper and he'll help us get rid of those things. So I want people confessing. So be quick to confess, quick to forgive. Be quick in this area. Don't be slow. Don't get around saying, oh, one day I might get around to asking forgiveness for this. No, be quick. Do it quickly, and you'll see things changing. See, no born-again child of God is looking for a way to sin and getting away with it. They're looking a way to be more like Christ. They're looking a way to get out from under the burden, under the authority of that thing that's in their life. They want to see it broken. That's their desire. So the more sensitive, the more quick they are to ask forgiveness, that thing will disappear. And if you really knew that the power and authority has already broken your life, it's become so weak. And I believe what we're going to talk about today is going to help you get rid of those things. It's strength. So the thing that has been dogging you is it's a strength in your flesh. It really comes and attacks your flesh. But you know that your power is in the Spirit. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit, says the Lord. So let's walk through this. So 1 John chapter 4. So turn over to chapter 4 now and verse 8. And 1 John 4 and verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Now, we've spoken about this before, but you've got to get to a place where you know that God is love. If you were doing an equation in math, you say God equals love, or love equals God. I mean, if God is love, that's Him. He's love personified. So when you think about God and God is love, it's not an option for God to love us. He doesn't come around and say, well, look, I really like Annette, but Eddie, no, it's not like that at all. God loves. He is love. What comes out of Him is love. So it's not dependent on how good or how bad you are. God is love. So there's love coming towards us. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that we could have redemption, relationship. He is love. So when you think about God, and every time you see God mentioned in the Word, you can substitute that for love. And the same way you see love, you can substitute for God, because God is love. God is light. And out of Him just comes love. So that's where the enemy comes and he says, God doesn't love you because you've done this. No, it's not an option for God. God loves you. And that's if you get one revelation today, get that God loves you. He loves you with a love that doesn't finish. A love that's not conditional. A love that doesn't depend on how you look or how you act. He just loves you. And that love's coming to you right now. You receive that love this morning. And then down to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. So we know and we believe. So it takes faith. We've got to know it in the Word and we've got to believe it. But it's one thing to know God's love, but it's another thing to trust in it. And it's easy, we can sing songs about God's love. But do you trust in God's love? Do you trust in it? Continue on in verse 16. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, of course not, because we know that God is love and He is in us. But perfected or perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love or perfected love casts out fear. See, this scripture says, stir up the gift that's within us. Stir it up. There's a gift of love in us. Stir it up. It's the gift that's come to us. We've got to stir up this gift. We've got to stir it up because it's given to us. And you can leave it on the shelf. You can leave it parked in the Bible, but you have to get this and you've got to stir up love. You've got to stir it up. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So there's the thing God's given us is power, love, and a sound mind. What else do you need? We've got everything we need right there. So if we stir up the gift of God, which is love, what happens? It flushes out all the fear in your life. Now the enemy wants to load us down with fear. But if you stir up the gift of love, what happens? It rises like a tide and flushes fear out. And the enemy wants to throw fear on you, but you stir love up. You stir love up. The enemy comes with your frustrations of fear, stir love up. Because the more you stir that gift up, the more that tide rises and perfect love casts out fear, and you get to the place where there is no place left in your life for fear. It's all gone. So stir it up. Now, people learn to manage fear, and I'm not talking about managing fear, because you've seen people have mastered fear, and you get some person who's mastered fear about jumping out of an airplane with a parachute. And they get to the place where they do it as often as possible, probably for the first 20 or 30 times, there was fear. But they've managed their fear because they've come to a place where they can just jump out. They've mastered that. If you take that same person, that same man or woman that's mastered that, and then you go and you talk to them about their finances, and there's fear all over their finances. There's fear all over their relationships because they've only mastered or masked one area. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about love casting out fear, removing it. It doesn't just help you to manage it. It completely removes fear from your life. See, worry is fear dependent and it's fear based. So if you're not born again, your unborn spirit is producing this fountain of fear. And that's why the news is based on fear. Because it feeds on what people want to hear. It's fear-based. So everything about the news is fear-based, feeding what our souls want. We're comfortable with that because, you know, we then get to the place where we fear, well, they're worse off than we are. But it's all fear-based. See, once you get born again, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And there is no longer a fountain of fear inside you, but there is a fountain of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness. And these are the things that the Spirit wants to give us. They're gifts that He has. They're fruits that He has ready to display in our lives as we hide ourselves in Him. You have a fountain of faith in there. You've got God kind of faith. But if you continue to feed fear, it will be in there. And you've got to feed on faith. You've got to get that in your spirit. And you'll be going along in life and someone might ask you, do you have fear in your life? Is there fear inside? And you reply, no, I haven't got any fear in me. But when you scratch below the surface, that fear has been resident all along. If you violate the law of love, fear is right there, crouching and waiting to devour you. Because fear comes from Satan. He's the father of that. That's what he has in his arsenal, is fear, which is false evidence appearing real. He comes with that all the time. He wants to give you fear. It'll come to you with fear of, hey, financially, you're not going to make it this year. Or he wants to come and say, you know that pain you've been having? That's just going to get worse and worse. Yeah, there's no hope for you. You're going to need all these medical things and your future's not good. And we'll put up ads on the TV to help that come into our minds. So, you know, you've got to have insurance to do this. Get your funeral arrangements done now. You know, you've got to get it done now. You know, and, you know, you need to book in your place in the nursing home right now because it's filling up. Everyone's dying early. These are all fear-based things that want to get you into a place where there's a fountain of fear, not a fountain of love. See, the moment that you violate that love walk and step out of the line, fear is right there. It's crouching, ready to go. You start worrying about stuff in your life. Instead of managing fear, you're managing to walk in a, you know, sorry, I'll repeat that. Instead of managing fear, we should be walking what we call a command of love. So there's a command of love. And if you put it up there and put it first place in your life, it's going to be a thing that you come to all the time. Not because of feelings, but it's because the fact that our commander in chief, who's Jesus, has given us command. You better prepare yourself as soldiers of the Lord. You know, I've said this before in a few other series about fighting the good fight of faith. You know, as Christians, we tend to be very passive. But the Bible is not passive. The Word of God is not passive, it's aggressive. And it talks so much about us in the army and fighting. And we have to prepare ourselves as soldiers. I'll put a couple of scriptures up there. 2 Timothy 2 and 5, it says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of his life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier." So let me tell you, you are a soldier enlisted in the army of God. Ephesians 6:13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." And it goes on, talks about how we must be prepared as soldiers with the army of the Lord, because we're in a fight. The sooner you realize that you are constricted into the army of God, and he's got commandments, and 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you're also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." So we have to lay hold aggressively to this salvation. The enemy wants to rob the word out of our life. So once you come to the place you know that you're a soldier of the Lord, and you get to a place where you believe that in his love, that he's commanded us to love one another, it's a command. You know, as a soldier, if the command is to do this, you have to do it. The only other option is court-martial. And we know that doesn't end good in an army. But the same way, our attitude should be, as soldiers, we've been given a command. And the command that we've been given is not just a command to, like you see on TV where the North Koreans, they're given a command to march this way and do that, and it's like everyone's doing it because they know that the implication is death. No, the command that Jesus gives us is for our benefit. If you realize that it's for our benefit, it's to benefit us. And this command is to love one another as Christ has loved the church. And it's not an option. God commanded us because in it is power. So in love there's power. And we use love as a weapon. It overthrows every fear that's dominated and dogged our life. And I just want to bring a real sort of correction to what your perception of love may be. Because we know one sort of love, but the love that God's talking about is not what I call a sloppy, kissy, huggy sort of love. This love that God's talking about is a life-rescuing, life-changing love from God. You know, when God loved, and his example was when there was a lost sheep, he went and rescued it. He loved that sheep so much, he went and rescued it, and he brought it back in the fold. That love protected the sheep. It was a protection. It was a correction. When the sheep was straying, it would be corrected and pulled back. That's what love was doing. So love was not, oh, let's fall over this person and love them. And no, love is strong. Love saves, love protects, love delivers. Love sets people free. Love corrects people when they're in sin. That's what love does. We have to apply diligence to this. And there's a reward for diligence. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll look at verse 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." This is the Bible. if you diligently obey what the Bible says, to observe carefully all his commandments. So these are commandments from the commander-in-chief. He's given us commandments, but what are they for? If you obey them, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God, your commander, your chief. So it gives you commandments to prosper you. The commands of the Lord to love is to prosper you. If we're diligent to obey his commandments, these blessings will come upon you and overtakes you, which means you're going to have too much for you to handle. So if you obey the commandments of the Lord diligently, that means blessings are going to come upon you so much that there's going to be too much for you to handle. What do I do with all this blessing? I can't eat it, I can't drive in it, I can't live in it. It's too much blessing for me. I need to do something with it. I need to get it into the ministry. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, and to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Wow. So the commandment is our protection, but if we do not obey the commands of the Lord, if we disobey those and we don't not diligent with the commandments, that means there's a diligence we've got to apply to these commands. What is it saying? What's it talking about? Well, I've got to be diligent because the enemy knows that if you step away from those commandments, he has a right to come and put fear on you. Romans 13, verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandments, are all summed up in the saying, namely, love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm, does no harm to the neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So if you want to know what the commandments say, it all boils back to love. Love your neighbor. We have to be diligent to walk in the love, in the walk of love, and that's why Jesus is telling us, you better listen to me regarding the walk of love. Because if you disobey this commandment and walk out of the love, there is a curse that can legally get upon us. And Christians say to me, oh, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Well, we've been redeemed from it, but it doesn't stop the curse working in the earth. We've been redeemed from it, right? There's a redemption from the curse, but if you walk out of those commandments, the curse will come. It can only come with a cause, and the cause is fear. If fear is on your life, there's the enemy can come in. See, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 said this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, this was Peter's letter to the church. It wasn't to the lost. It was a letter to the church saying, be diligent, be sober, because your enemy is on the warpath. He wants to get you. He's looking for those who are not walking in love. Because if you're disobeying the commandment of love, the enemy has a right to come with your fear, frustrations. He's got a right to steal. Now, I want you to see this. See, I've put a line down here this morning. I don't know if you can see this line. But it's a line. And it's a line I put down. I put a black line only because that's the only thing I had. But if this represented the love walk or the love commandment, you know, we had to be diligent to stay in love. And so we can walk down this narrow, and it's a narrow path. You know, I talked about the narrow path. I think it was mid last year we started talking about that the narrow way that's constricted is narrow and not many people walk on it because it's too hard. Many will go by the broad way because it's so easy. But I tell you, as you're walking on this line, you've got to be diligent to keep in love because the first thing happens, somebody comes at you, rah, 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 talking some nonsense to you, and it's easy for you to turn around and say, I don't agree with that. And you're off the love walk straight away. it's better to say, no, it doesn't matter. I'm choosing, I'm working on something in my life. I'm walking the love walk because I know that all my abundance, all the precious promises are coming to me. If I stay on this love walk, this is where they're coming. Those promises don't come when I'm off the love walk. And we spoke about how many precious promises are coming to us and how many have fallen down by the wayside because they're coming and you're off the love walk. You're not in love. You've been distracted by some other thing. And so if we stay in that and say, no, I'm not going to fuss with that right now. I'm not going to get involved in that because I'm walking this love walk. I'm staying in love. I choose to respond in love. And it doesn't matter what happens because the enemy's going to come with the weirdest things. He's going to come with family. He's going to come with all sorts of drama to get you out of love. Get you off that. So the key for us is that when that happens, if it does happen, you get off, repent quickly. Quickly, I'm going to get back on this. I do, Lord, just forgive me for that. I'm sorry for getting involved in that. I'm a soldier in the command of the Lord. I don't have time to get involved in those affairs of life that's going to distract me. And I'll tell you, the enemy is so sneaky. He's going to bring good-meaning Christians along your path, and they're going to say something to you that's going to get you off that love walk. Because the enemy is trying to pull you off that path all the time so you miss out on the blessing that God's got for you this year. And so you've got to continue. No, I'm going to resist that. I'm going to resist what the enemy does. I'm going to stay on this line. I'm going to choose to walk in love. And any time somebody tries to get me off that, I'm going to remind myself of the promises for this year. And they keep coming to me. I want to get to a place where they're overtaking me. And there's an abundance because I'm staying on that line. I'm staying on that walk. And there's things that the enemy will come with you that happen. We spoke about one last week. We spoke about that. And, we spoke about that, how that Stephen was doing so many good things. The blessing of God was upon his life. And even when they falsely accused him and they were stoning him to death, he still chose to be in love. He said, don't hold this sin against them, Lord. What a great love statement that was. Here's somebody who could be righteously indignant and say, I'm innocent of all these charges. Lord, send fire from heaven down or do something like that. But no, he said, don't hold this against them. And we know that Saul was in agreement with that. If Stephen hadn't forgiven quickly, even on the point of his death, would Saul be in the ministry today? I don't know. I don't know. But he forgave. And he was one who was had every right to judge those people, every right to say wrong things about them. But he stayed in that love. He stayed in that walk. And Jesus was at attention, looking at him. And he went from there straight to heaven because of that. We've got to stay in this. And I want to really prove this further. In 1 John 5 and verse 14. Now in this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So what's his will? His will is his word. So if we ask anything according to his word, which is his will, he hears us. And there's no way that he will promise you anything that's against his will. Now, God's not going to come and promise you something that's against his will. So just find it in the word and stand on that promise. Is healing in the word? Maybe some people aren't really convinced about that. Healing's in the word. Is abundance in the word? Abundance is the word. So we should be receiving the promises that based on his word, which is his will. And if we do that according to that, he hears us. And verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. If anyone sees a brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, we will ask, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that you should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin that's not leading to death. Verse 18. And we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Just should hold up for a minute on this verse and back up. And I want to read this verse again. I want to change the way you hear this verse. I want you to change it because we read it one way, but I want you to change it. So where what I said before, that God is love and love is God, let's change it around. We know that whoever is born of love does not sin, but he who is born of love keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. See how it puts a different perspective on that? See, God is love. So you can change God for love. So if we read that and say, whoever is born of love keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So if you stay in love, the wicked one cannot touch you. If you're born in love and you're walking that line, the love walk, and if you step out of love, be quick to repent and get straight back on it. You should be saying, I'm quick to repent and quick to forgive and slow to anger. Quick to love, quick to repent, slow to anger. And stay on that line. Now, if you take your hand, if you say to Satan, now, take your hands off my children. Take your hands off my family. Because I'm in the command of love. I can rightly say on that line, you take your hands off my family. You take your hands off my situation because I'm under the command. And Satan cannot see you when you're on this love line. I don't know if you realize that if you're walking that love line, Satan cannot see you. You're invisible to him. Why? Because you're hidden in Christ. If you're in God, in love, you're hidden in Christ. And so what Satan is hearing is the words of Jesus. He's seeing love. And he knows love's God. So if you're walking that love line, there's protection for you, and Satan can come at you anyway, but he comes and he says, I'm coming against God himself. Because on that line, on that command, on that love walk, you're insulated. And I said, when love is manifest, made perfect in life, fear is gone. So we choose to, no matter what, because the enemy is going to come and try to get you off that line. I can tell you now, because the Holy Spirit wants to manifest these things in our life, the enemy's on the rampage. He wants to come and distract you. So he's going to do everything. I guarantee he's done everything this year to get you off that line. He's brought issues to your life. He's brought frustrations, fears, because he wants to get you off that line into fear all the time. But you know, you've got to be quick to forgive, quick to get back on that line. Say, no, I'm working on something here. And my precious promise is coming to me right now. I'm staying on this line. And Satan, you cannot come against me. I'm staying on that. I don't care. I'm taking one. I'm putting that foot straight back on again. I choose to love. I choose to forgive. I choose to walk this line. And no matter what, I'm staying on that line. And that's what you need to say every day now. Get up. I'm going to choose on this line today. Right in the beginning of the day, make a choice. I'm walking this line. And the enemy tries to drag you off. Get back on it straight away. Lord, I forgive. Lord, forgive me for that. I'm under your command. I'm a soldier. I'm going to be dedicated and diligent to walk in this love line no matter what. I don't care what people say against me. I don't care what people think or do. I'm staying on this love line because this is where my hiding place. This is the place I'm hidden in Christ. This is the place the enemy can't touch me. If I get out here, he can touch me. If I stay in here, he cannot touch me. Out here, he can hit me with disease and sickness, with debts. In here, I am in abundance. I'm walking in that love walk. I'm walking in it. We need to choose to continue to to forgive and let nothing ruffle my feathers. You know, you need to just take an account and bite your tongue quickly. We've got to stay in love. And I want to show you this scripture here. Mark 11:24. And you know this one, we speak about this one nearly every week or every second week. But I want to take you to the last part of this. And it says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. We love that scripture, but I want to continue on. And verse 25 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Wow, this is all wrapped up in the great passage of faith. So faith is dependent on staying in love. So if you're not quick to forgive, then God can't forgive you. Ouch, that one hurts so much. I don't want God holding anything against me. I don't want him holding forgiveness out against me, because it says here that if I don't forgive, he can't forgive me. Whew, that's pretty heavy. And you can hold on to that issue for several days or even a week until it gets a little easier in the natural to handle it. But you're off the love walk and your prayers are not effective when you're out of love. They're not effective. So, Pastor Michael, I don't know what the person said about me. You don't know what it is, and it's really hurtful. And no, I don't know, and I don't care. That might sound really harsh, but you shouldn't care either. You should not care what that person said about you or thinks about you. It shouldn't be your care at all, because you've got to remind yourself, I'm hidden in Christ. I'm going to stay on that line. I don't care what's happened in the past. I don't care what happened 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. You shouldn't care what happened. And I come across people that have been molested. Don't worry about that. You've got to give that over. Stay in that love walk. Choose to forgive, because the longer you hold that, the further you're out away from that walk, and the enemy's got right to be in your life. And you can say to everyone, look, I've been so molested. I've been so, taken advantage of, and it's not fair. And it is not fair. But we fight against an enemy who's not fair. We've got an enemy who fights against children. He comes against the innocents. But we've got to get to a place where we can say, no, I'm forgiving that. I'm releasing that forgiveness. I'm going to walk in this line, because in that, my restoration, my future is in that line. I'm going to stay in this no matter what. So I want you to stay in that this year. Stay in it until you get to a place where it's so in you. And in closing, I want you to look at this one scripture. And this one scripture is going to change what you think on this one. And so Galatians 5 and verse 22, and it's what we've been talking about. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now I want you to hear this. Against such there is no law. The Amplifier says this, against such there is no law that can bring a charge. So when you have the fruits of the Spirit, there's no law that can touch you. There's no charge that can come against you, because you stay in that walk. When the fruits of the Spirit, and they start with love, and out of love comes all these other things. See, we're going to talk about joy and peace, but you know, it all comes out of the fruit of love, of that abundant fruit that's in your life of love. Once you get that right, then all these blessings overtake you. You want joy in your life, you want peace in your life, get the love walk sorted out first. Stay in this one. This one determines what happens to the rest of you. And stay in that line, there's nothing the enemy can ever do to you. 1,000 might fall to your right side, 1,000 on your left side. But you'll walk through that. Walk like walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It might be death everywhere, but not for you. not for you, because you're abundance, you're hidden in Christ, you can go into lion's den in that situation and nothing can touch you because you're in that, you're hidden in Christ as he's hidden in the Father, and that's the command, that's the love command. Hey, let's stand together. Let's pray. We're going to sing a song, but we'll pray first. Thank you. Just hold that. Just put on pause for a second. Just the pause button. Up there.
You called me from the grave.
That's all right.
You called me.
That's all right. Hey, I want to pray together first, and we're going to sing that song. But we've dealt some things in. As according to the word, but it's by his Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit. Yeah, this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's just not the word, it's the Spirit, it's his fruit. So I want us to now just come together in agreement, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to fill us with his Spirit, so what comes out of us is the fruit. He wants to help us in this love walk. So it's just not a commandment, you must do this. It's a commandment that he wants to help us with. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now that we're in the time of the Holy Spirit. Lord, and when Jesus, Lord, before he descended, said, I'm sending you a helper who's going to help you in this life. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us somebody who wants to help us so much, and he has got these abundant gifts and fruits that he wants to manifest in our life. And so right now, we choose from this day forward, Lord, to be quick to forgive, Lord, quick to release, Lord, and stay in this love walk. Lord, we choose to be, Lord, ones that would love. Lord, and you said that they would know us by our love. Lord, that's because we've got this confidence, we got this peace, we got the fruit of the Spirit manifest in our life, and nothing can ever touch us again as we stay in this love walk. So, right, we commit ourselves afresh today that we're going to walk in love. We're going to choose to be ones who will love our neighbours as ourselves. And it's the love of Christ. Lord, we do this by faith. Lord, not by feeling, because it never is going to feel right. It's never going to feel great to love somebody when they've hurt us. But Lord, we choose right now to do it by faith. We're going to release love in our lives by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come upon us right now. You know, I just want to also encourage you because, you know, often when if we're talking about love, well, there's some people that will say, well, you don't know, you know, the history that I've had. You don't know how I've been brought up. You don't know the issues that my parents have put onto me. You don't know the things that I've had to go through in my life, and it's hard for me to love, and my whole family has got this wild temper, and, you know, I've heard all these things. And they may be valid things in the natural, but this is a day just to repent from those things and say, I'm no longer of that family. My Father is in heaven. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new type of being. Those old things, that my normal background, my normal history now goes away. I'm made a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the past is gone away. Behold, I make all things new. So I declare today that this is a new day for you. The past is now blotted out. Those past things and no longer have a hold over you. And every time that the enemy will come back, a reminder, you say, no, I'm a new creation. I'm hidden in Christ. The old has no resemblance to me at all. And you can confidently say, no, I am of a new family. I don't care what's happened in the past. I'm of a new creation. Right now, I'm in the family of God, and I'm in the army of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, I hope you got something out of that today. And it was a lot to get into that, but I just trust that that's helped you, because we're going on into this year with great excitement about what God's building in our lives. That's all I got today. That's it.